Blog Talk Radio.
Shabbat, Father. Thank you for the blessing of your Torah. Thank you for the blessing of your Son, Yahushua, Father. And thank you for sending us, sending him here to redeem us, Father, to save us, Father, from lies, from deceit, Father, from malice, Father, from everything, Father, that is apart and against you, Father. Thank you for giving us a way back to you, Father, through your Son, Yahushua, Father. I ask, Father, that you bless all my brothers and sisters, Father, of Beth Yahweh congregation, Father, that their Shabbat be filled with peace, Father, that their Shabbat be filled with harmony, Father, that their Shabbat, Father, be filled with your spirit this day, Father. I ask, Father, that you look down upon us with loving kindness and mercy, Father, and that you safeguard those, Father, that are on the way, Father, that you encourage those, Father, that are unable to make it, Father, and that you strengthen those, Father, strengthen all of us, Father, so that we can do your will, Father, please you, Father. These things, Father, we ask in Yahushua's name, Father, we pray. Amen. Blessed are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahweh, that chooses HaTorah, Moshe, his servant, Yisrael, his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. Kol Shavah, family. How's everybody? Tov Meod, I hope everybody's had a good week and is so far having a good Sabbath, one that is filled with his spirit, one that is filled with love, one that is filled with unity, and one that is filled with an abundance of shalom. So, we are still talking about relationships. And, you know, I hope anybody who looks at the blog talks and chooses to click on them, if you are unfamiliar with visited our congregation, that you know and understand that, you know, when you see that relationship sign up there, or that heading rather, that title, that it's not just about, you know, fleshly or earthly relationships, but it's also about relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father and with his Son, Yahushua. You know, because if that relationship isn't right, no other relationship will be right. You know, there's nothing that the flesh can give you in a relationship to replace the relationship, the personal relationship that you have with your God, you know. And that's what it has to be at the end of the day to each individual. Each individual has to see the Creator for themselves, have a relationship with Him for themselves, and relate to their fellow man in accordance to the abundance of the relationship that they have with their Heavenly Father. If that relationship isn't right, then no other relationship will be right in your life. No relationship with husband, no relationship with wife, no relationship with child, no relationship with mother, father, sister, brother, so on and so forth. Because at the end of the day, if you're not willing to yield 100% of you to that relationship with your Creator, then you cannot be a complete person to anyone else in your life. And not to say that you're going to be a perfect in your relationship with your Creator, but if you are trying in all aspects of your life to please Him first and foremost, because when His Son came and they asked Him what is the greatest commandment of all, He didn't mention anything in the Torah that you can do. All the first thing He mentioned was love Yahweh your mighty one with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. That was the first thing that He told them that they must do. They must have that relationship right with their Creator. If you don't have the relationship right with Creator, then nothing else in life, no other relationship in life is ever going to be right. You'll always try to fill that void. If Yahweh doesn't fill you up, if Yahweh doesn't replace whatever voids that you have within you, there's nothing else that's going to replace any other void. Nothing. No matter what you try, no matter what you do, there will always be that emptiness, even as a believer. Don't think for one second that getting baptized, coming to service, and going through the formalities of this actually means that you are in right standing with Yahweh, because it doesn't mean that. You could come here, and one of the lessons from last night, you can come here and play a role. You can come here and act. You can come here and be a hypocrite. It is very possible. As a matter of fact, we've witnessed that in many regards in our personal life and things that have happened within the walls or the confines of our congregation. Sometimes people act, you know. And, I mean, one of the things that, you know, Yaakel talked about last night was the fact that we award actors for acting a part and making it believable to the extent where you look at that person who may be named one thing in real life, but you will always associate that person with that character. For instance, I'm going to date myself right now. Is it Mr. Tibbs? I got a nod from the back. Mr. Tibbs, right? That was a movie that I think predates everyone in this room. Acted by Sidney Poitier, wasn't it? And I think that was the role that he got the Oscar for, wasn't it? Okay. But we will always associate Mr. Tibbs with Sidney Poitier. Huh? That's the name of the movie? Okay. I did not know that. It's Lilies of the Field, right? you know, thank you, sis. But you think about any actor in any role, they always talk about that being their defining role. You know, Dustin Hoffman. What was the Graduate? You know, that was his defining role. That was the role that showed his acting prowess to the point that, you know, you believe that he was a teenage boy in love with an older woman, when in all actuality, he was a grown man, because I didn't realize until this whole scandal came out that Dustin Hoffman was in his 80s. So that means back then in 1960-something, when he made it, he was in his late 20s to maybe early 30s. But he played a teenager in that role. Any role that somebody plays, that's exactly what it is. It is a role. It is not who they are. But the funny thing, you know, you got this thing now they call method acting. And when you think about what method acting is you actually try to embody, or what they call calling down the quote-unquote muse, where you actually try to get so much into this role that you have some actors that live as that character. I'll never forget seeing Denzel on Arsenio Hall's show back in the day, just after he had done the Malcolm X movie. And he was still so much in character. Malcolm X was one of my heroes prior to coming to the faith, is one of the people who really helped me gain my, you know, sense of self and black consciousness and all this, yada, 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 what Doc King says, and this, that, and the third. You know, and I remember seeing him in that role, which is one of my favorite Denzel movies, and how much he, even once being interviewed by Arsenio Hall, he was still in character, still had the same impressions, still had the same fluctuation in his voice that Malcolm X did, still held his head in the same manner in which he did. You know, that's how much he was into the show. He was living the role. And, you know, a couple of years back, they had the whole thing where, you know, Denzel was out, I think, at a fight party, and he was in a jogging suit, and, you know, he wasn't looking quite like Denzel. He had the rough scruff on him and everything, and everybody was joking him about, you know, being Uncle Denzel. He had the cigarette in his hand. You know, he was in character. You know, but everybody was joking him about it, though. And I remember saying to somebody, I know him well enough as an actor. He's preparing for a role. He don't come out like that. He's smooth. He's clean when he come out. Lo and behold, he was preparing for the role for Magnificent Seven. And when you look at the role he was playing, the character he played in Magnificent Seven, it was dated in the period where black men wasn't shaving like that. Men in general wasn't shaving like that. So, you know, he was in character even offset. So the point I'm trying to make is, it's easy to play a role. It's not hard to play a role and to make it believable. As a matter of fact, you know, one of the things that we are admonished about ministers, that they can appear to be angels of light. But in all actuality, you know, it says that they are wolves in sheep's clothing. You know, and in order to do that properly, to be a minister of darkness, but to portray yourself in the sense of being an angel of light, you can't at any point show your hand and reveal that you your dark side. You can't at any point, if you're that wolf in that sheep's clothing, see another sheep come past and go, because that's gonna give away what you are. And once you got the sheep, don't growl; they go bad, right? But if you hear a growl come out of a sheep, you go, hold up. Wait a minute, that sheep just growled. Are we sure that that's a sheep? So no, if you're really trying to be good at what you're doing, which is deceiving people, guess what you're going to do? You are going to play that. You are going to have the most Oscar-worthy performance ever been seen on earth. You know, but we are still talking about relationships. You know, and we're going to move on from that old serpent. We're going to move on to another relationship, but we're not going to forget about him. We always want to keep him not too far from the forefront of our mind, because at any point we take our eyes off of him, we lose focus that he is there, and that he, we're going to read in a little bit, that he, like sin, lays crouching, waiting at some point for an opportunity to devour. Because that is his sole intent and his sole purpose, you know. So let's start off. Let's get into some word, family. Instead of going into Genesis 3 this time, we're going to go into Genesis, the fourth chapter. We're going to start talking a little bit now about the offspring of Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel. Because we need to understand their relationship also, because they had a relationship with the Creator. And their relationship with the Creator is important also, because now it starts to take man, we see mankind now starting to take a different turn in its path or its walk with the Creator. Because you see, my brother put out a text, I believe yesterday, which was a very good text. It's something that, you know, we cannot forget. You know, when Satan asked the question that he asked, knowing that by asking this question, or believing or hoping at that point that by asking this question that he would be able to gain something over humanity, something that he did not possess, which was them. Because at that point, he was a controlled creature, a creature that was under the dominion of Adam and his wife Eve. And he was a creature who was apart from a direction with the creator of all things living. But because he lacked this direct line of communication, the things that he knows and understands, he only gets as a result of second or third hand information. He doesn't have a direct line of communication with his creator as far as Satan knows the word and he trembles. He knows it and he trembles. He can quote the word, but it's a difference between quoting the word, being able to parrot the word, and actually be able to speak on behalf of the word's originator and know its purpose and its intent, which is a big difference. Because, for instance, we've got, because you got the bird, I believe, it's called the mockingbird, right? And it is able, shalom, Aki, it is able to communicate various sounds. As a matter of fact, I was watching TV show the other day, and it was about the lemurs, which is the what's Timon and Pumbaa. One was the boar, and one was the warthog, and what was Timon? He was a meerkat. It was the meerkats. I'm sorry, not the lemurs, the meerkats, right? And it was showing how the meerkats, you know, live. They're all cute. They, you know, they're doing their little thing, and they go hunting for grubs or whatever, right? But then you also have the animals that are preying on them. So you had this one bird, and I can't remember the name of the bird. But the bird, what it did was it sat and it watched the meerkats and what they were doing, looking for grubs. So then the bird, he ain't trying to go in there and dig it all up in the soil like the meerkats are doing. But the bird was wise enough to devise a way to trick the meerkat out of getting their little grub. So he waited until they came out, and they're really skittish. You know, they're like house cats. You know, they hear a little sound, they don't recognize something, they're going right back into their hole. So the meerkats go out and they start digging for the grub. So the bird was wise enough to know that certain sounds they use to alert them to danger. They would go like kiki. So the bird watched them and noticed that when they go kiki, they left everything behind, ran into their holes and left all their food behind. So the bird, once he saw that the meerkat had dug up some of the grub and wanted to eat, he would go kiki, just like the meerkat, and then the meerkats would scatter, and he would go down and he would get his grub. You know what I'm saying? But he had that level of intelligence to know how to trick them into thinking that there was an alert sound, when in all actuality, there wasn't an alert sound. But now, we think about what the adversary does, is he does a similar thing with the word of Yahweh. Case in point, what he tried to do with Yahushua after he was fasting. He waited for a weak point. He waited for what he thought was his opportunity to get a foot in, to now to trick him the same way he tricked Adam and Eve by quoting the word of God, but not being able to understand the purpose and intent for each scripture that he quoted, given by Yahweh. Every word that comes out of Yahweh's mouth, its first intent and purpose is to bring about the betterment of each individual who hears it. It's supposed to bring about an opportunity for each individual that hears it to have a relationship with him. That's his whole purpose of giving his word. When you go back into that garden and you think about his interaction with Adam, he was building a relationship so that Adam would always know exactly what Yahweh was thinking. But once that relationship now was severed, once they got tricked out of that relationship, they no longer were able to have that direct line of communication with him. They were no longer able to know exactly what the word says as far as thus saith Yahweh. So now, you know, but back to the original point with what Hasatan was trying to do, you know, he tried to, he tried to, you know, what he had gleaned from whatever conversations that he had with, what Adam had with the Creator, take that information now and use it and now take the words of life and actually twist them to Adam and Eve's death and destruction. And it's so funny because he really didn't hide his purpose and intent when he asked that question. His whole question was about death, right or wrong. His whole question was about death. Why not about life? Why not about eternal life? Why not say, you know, if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of eternal life, you'll live forever? But he came at them with death, and they fell for it. They fell for it. They fell for what they thought they would gain in this fleshly life for what they would lose in their relationship with the Creator. You know what I mean? It's almost like when they say, you bet everything on the farm, and you know, you end up losing the farm. Well, that's exactly what they did. They took a gamble and lost. But, you know, Yahweh in his infinite wisdom, even though they took this gamble and lost, he had already made a way for them to win. Because, you know, at the end of the day, when you think about what is the most important thing in this life, what is the most important thing in this life? Okay. Yes. No disagreement there. But what is the most important thing in this life? What is the whole purpose of this life? To make it to eternal life. That's the only important thing in this life, is preparing for death. Think about that. The most important thing in this life is preparing for the way that we will go. Everybody is going to go that way. Everybody is going to close their eyes for the last time. And you don't know when that is going to take place. So the most important thing in your day, every day, is that you are prepared that just in case, you know that song, just in case I don't make it home tonight. That was what he was saying in that song. When you listen to the lyrics, he was out there living that life. And he's saying to the lady, yo, let's do this thing one more time, just in case. And he could use that every day of his life while he's out there doing what he's doing. Same thing with Yahweh. Our mantra to Yahweh is, just in case I don't make it, I close my eyes today, Yahweh. Show me the way that I, keep me in the way that I make it to eternal life. No other thing is important. No job, not making it to work on time, not being a mother, cousin, wife, none of that is as important as making sure you are prepared for the inevitable. There are plenty of people that got up one morning and said, you know what, see you later. And it didn't happen. I see it every day with my job. Every day. I'm watching this whole thing with the flu epidemic. You got seemingly healthy people. This microscopic organism somehow enters into their body. And the thing is, I went in somebody's room. It's part of my job. Had to go in and transport somebody who on droplet precaution. So the first thing going through my mind when I go up there, I'm trying to help out, do the right thing. I see boom, 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 influenza. And the first thing I want to do is like, oh, no, I'm delegating this one right here. Because I saw a stretcher. So I'm thinking it's an easy bop up to the ninth floor, get the patient, take him down to x-ray, and I'm done. No, get up there and sure enough, got to put on all the protective gear, the mask, everything. You know, and it's like I had to stop for a second and say a prayer. Say, Yahweh, I go in there, please, you know, protect me from this deadly strain of the flu, and keep me, you know, I pray that I don't bring it to nobody that I love. I don't want to bring it home to my children, because I had to scare my oldest child way back in the day. Taught me a valuable lesson of just going home and playing with my children after working in the hospital all day. you know, my child ended up getting a deadly disease. Thankfully, it wasn't the kind that would definitely take you out, but it still, it was a scare. My child, my baby had to get a spinal tap. It broke my heart to see my child go through all that. It taught me a valuable lesson. As much as I'm happy to see them when I go home, the environment that I work in, I must first take precautions to ensure that their health is first on my list. So, you know, walk into this room, and the first thing I pray before I go in there is like, Yahweh, protect me. You know, keep me from this, because no guarantees that I walk out of there and in 7 days or however long it takes for this thing to incubate, that it's not in my system, that I don't spread it to others. But that's the frailty of life. You know, you could see somebody, and I've seen this time and time again. You walk in there, somebody, plenty of times, a weekend, you see somebody say, hey, man, I'm gone for the weekend, but I see you Monday. They ain't make it to Monday. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, not to harp on that, but the whole point of it is this life is to prepare. But what we read in Ezra, when you get that tour, you want that 7 day tour of Yahweh's country club. That's what you want. You want that, right or wrong, I see. You want that 7 day tour of paradise. Hey, when it's time, you know, I'm gonna show you what you when you wake back up, what you gonna wake up to. You know? That so the point I'm trying to make is the only important thing in this life is to prepare for when it's over for us. You know, but you know, my brother had sent out a text, and I want to get back to it because it was a very timely text, because we see what the adversary is doing. You know, one of the things that the word says is that we are not ignorant, you know, to his devices, you know, and trying to find it. And as believers, it's very important that we stay in right relationship with them. We're going to see that. We're eventually going to get, you know, I'm talking, running my mouth. We're eventually going to get to the heart of the lesson. But, you know, sometimes you got to really drive a particular point home, because even with, okay, one of the things that the brother sent out, Father, found, in order to stop salvation, one must infiltrate and kill off those, replace who have been entrusted with the truth, and on top of that, confuse them, you know, and confuse them. And I thought that was a very good point, because when you think about adversary did to Adam and Eve at that point, you know, by taking their innocence, by robbing them of that. I don't need to say so much robbing them, because at some point they had to make because if he had just robbed them, Yahweh wouldn't have held them accountable for their actions. So it wasn't something that he just did and they weren't willing participants. They had to be willing participants, because otherwise Yahweh wouldn't have punished them. If he just tricked them, he would have been done with it. You know, but because of the fact that they were willing participants, that they gave themselves over to the adversary, you know, Yahweh had to deal with them accordingly. So let's go on. Let's go on to Genesis, the fourth chapter. You know, but there is a theme, you know, between these two lessons, you know, because the whole purpose of Hasatan's art of deception is to prevent us from having a healthy relationship with the Mighty One. That's the whole purpose of it. And we can't lose sight of it. It's not more complicated than that. The truth of the matter is, it's very simple. Otherwise, Yahushua wouldn't have made the statement that he made. He would not have said, you know, when they asked him, what is the greatest commandment of the month? He wouldn't have said, love Yahweh, your mighty one, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. He would have said, you know, do this, do that. Everything that they concentrate on doing. It's not about doing. It's about what you are doing as far as your relationship with the Creator. And one of the things, another text that gone out, and my sister walked in and brought that back to mind. You know, we cannot forget that love either. We can't forget that relationship with our fellow man in regards to our relationship with the Creator. Because when we think about how he deals with us every day we commit a sin. Every day we are worthy of death. Every day we fall short. You know, we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of Yahweh. But we have an advocate. We have somebody who speaks on our behalf, who finds that one little inkling of good within us. You know, it's funny watching that, watching the whole thing that was taking place with the doctor, the gymnast doctor, and to see that he had somebody standing beside his side. That was his lawyer. You know, and to think that you have somebody, even when you commit such heinous crimes as to abuse the trust of over 150 young ladies, that there is still someone who stands beside you and will say, but you know what, consider this. Well, guess what? That's what we get every day. That's what we get every day. All day. But let's go to Genesis, family. Genesis 4:1. And it says, and Adam knew his wife, and she conceived, and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from Yahweh. 4:2. And she again bare his brother, Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep. Now just consider the fact that the first thing, because he already had the opportunity to describe what Cain was, because Cain came out first. But as soon as Abel comes out, he says this about him. The first thing he wants us to know about Abel, who is the second born to Adam and Eve, and Abel was a keeper of sheep. But Cain was a tiller of the ground. Now, do we think that Yahweh would just include this for no reason? It would seem that he shows you about the second son as opposed to the first son is that he was a keeper of sheep. And when you think about what a keeper of sheep is, what is a keeper of sheep? The kid, huh? The shepherd, right? He's a caregiver. Hmm? The first opportunity he had was, the first thing we understand about him is that his life at once was spent taking care of another living creature, right? Right or wrong? Which if you ever had a pet, you know that takes some time. If you had a cat, you got a dog, you know it comes with responsibility. You know your life is no longer your own. You can't just walk out the door and leave a bowl of food and say, all right, see you later. Matter of fact, if you got a dog, you know you can't leave the house. Matter of fact, I will say this. When you have a dog especially, you are on that dog's time. Because guess what? Doggy needs to be walked before you leave out the door for that day. Otherwise, you got a little mess when you come home. Doggy needs to be walked after you come home for the evening, before you go to bed. Otherwise, you're going to wake up to a mess, right or wrong. So when you think about taking care of certain animals, you are at their beck and call. You have to be on their schedule. Right or wrong? So now the next thing we learn is about Cain. It says, 4:2, Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Sounds like a noble act, right? Sounds like nothing bad with being a farmer, nothing bad with being into agriculture, right? But now when you start to think about the state of where humanity has come to at that point, what do you think really needs more of man's involvement? Because Yahweh already had certain things in place before mankind got there. The trees, right? So the trees and plant life and vegetation, Yahweh already had that in place before he got there. And same thing with the animals too. But now after we realize that the conditions have changed, guess what? That means man's responsibility to Yahweh's creation has now changed because now he has inserted something into it that wasn't initially intended for it, and that was disobedience, and that was selling themselves out to the adversary, right? Okay. But Cain was a tiller of the ground, and in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto Yahweh. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, and Yahweh had respect unto Abel and to his offering. So now, what are we seeing there? What are we seeing happening right now? Because Yahweh sent time, so he's letting you know some time is going past. He's not giving you the totality of everything that is taking place or every minute detail, but what he is giving us into is some insight into the mindset and the life of Cain,
and also a little insight into the life of Abel, right? Okay. Now, we see they're both doing what? They're both providing an offering, right? Both providing this offering to Yahweh, right? Okay, so now we know one is doing one particular thing with his life, and another one is doing another particular thing with his life, right? Okay. But both feel the need now, or both are compelled to provide Yahweh with, Yahweh, I love you, I want to give back to you, I want this relationship with you, right? Okay. So it says, and in the process of time, back to 4:3, of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto Yahweh, and Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And Yahweh had respect unto Abel and to his offering, right? But, 4:5, unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. 4:6. And Yahweh said unto Cain, Wayomer, a word came to Cain. And what was this word? The first thing, Yahweh hits him with a question. Why are you upset? What are you upset about? And why is your countenance falling? Basically, I see that you're moping, you're broke down, you're not looking at yourself. Why are you upset? Talk to me. As a matter of fact, before Yahweh could even give him an opportunity to say something, give him a retort, he said, check this out. I already know what's going on. I already got some insight into what's taking place. And he's telling you, if you do well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. So what do we see happening there at this point? We see two distinct mindsets assumed are doing the same type of action, offering something unto Yahweh, right? But Yahweh says straight up, one I got respect for, the other one, no. Mm-mm. No, but why? What do we see happening? What do we see taking place right off the bat of Adam and Eve being kicked out of the garden? Mm-hmm. I agree with you. Go into it a little bit more, though. Let me ask you this. What is making the two of them separate? But with Yahweh asking this question, what are we seeing? Because one of the things that we cannot overlook is that little statement that says, in a process of time, because Yahweh's letting you know some time has gone past. So now the fact that Cain is doing this offering, it's not a one-time occurrence. And the fact that Abel is doing his offering, that's not a one-time occurrence. So this is something that has been going on over time. And Yahweh's letting you know that, Cain, the way you've been offering me these things, however many times you've been offering it, you see I'm not receiving it. So it's almost like you ever been married, whether you're the husband or whether you're the wife. Matter of fact, you've ever had any type of relationship with anybody or anything. It could be anything. Let's take, for instance, I'm going to take an animal, Nico. And since you could just nod your head yes or just shake your head yes, does Nico like his tail being pulled? Does he like all those members in his household who he sees all of them as his master? Does he like his tail being pulled? Okay, you pull his tail once, he might let you slide, right? Okay, you pull it twice, same person. Think he's going to let you slide? What is he going to do? He's going to let you know his displeasure, right? Okay, by snapping at you, right? Okay, this is a dog. This is a creature that Yahweh created. So now you have his intelligent creation, the two sons of Adam and Eve, that now in the process of time, and that's why Yahweh put that in there, let you know this isn't a one-time occurrence. This is something that's been going on with Adam, with Abel, and with Cain, that they are doing this offering. He's picking this stuff up off the ground, right? And he's saying, boom. Now, the first time, he's giving it cheerfully, maybe. I'm just maybe giving it cheerfully. But over time, he notices somehow, you ever burn fruit right? You ever burn fruit? You ever burn vegetables? You ever, I mean, sure, nowadays, you know, we roast them on the grill. That's roasting. It's not burning. Because when you talk about when you're offering a sacrifice up to Yahweh, he wants that whole thing charred up, right? He wants that thing brought to ash, right? Okay. So, no, you don't get a sweet savor from burning fruit and burning vegetables. You don't get that. You might, like I said, some people nowadays, I've done it. You slice that peach up, man, and it's nice and juicy on the grill. It's all right. It's pretty tasty. But you don't want that, you don't want that fruit on the grill as long as you want, let's say, a piece of steak. From that standpoint of having grill experience, having cooked food on a grill, you ain't trying to roast no vegetables and roast no burn no vegetables and burn any fruits like that. That doesn't make sense. Okay, so let's say this was in his mind. This was part of his mindset. So Yahweh was letting him know. I don't like that. But here you got Abel. Man, chops him up, puts him on his sacrificial altar, and Yahweh says, because at this point, what's one of the things that we notice that he's still doing with Cain and Abel? Communicating with them. See, that direct line of communication didn't just stop immediately with Adam and Eve and the serpent. Yahweh still took the time to communicate with Cain, in particular, the bad one, and his brother Abel. And he said to him straight up, yo, I don't like what you're doing. Stop it. Why are you upset? The whole notion, think about it. If we can draw inference, Yahweh asked Cain. He said, if you do well, implying, look, there is a way to do well. You know how to do well. Follow the example of your brother. Watch what Abel is doing. You see, I have respect for it. You see, I like it. As a matter of fact, let's look at the word respect. Because, see, all of this still goes to, did God say? So we see what Yahweh is saying right here to Cain. Let's look, which verse do I want? Okay, here it is. Back up to 4. Let's look at that word respect real quick. It's in Genesis 4:4. The word is sha'ah, a primitive root to gaze at or about properly for help by implication to inspect, consider, compassionate, be nonplussed, as looking around in amazement or bewildered, depart, be dim, be dismayed, look away, regard, have respect, spare turn. So we see by certain implications of this word that Yahweh is looking down. He's gazing at what Abel is doing. He's gazing at what Cain is doing. And when he's looking at what Cain and Abel are doing, he's seeing that Cain has one way of doing things. Abel has another way of doing things. The way that Cain is doing things, he doesn't like. So he comes down and he tries to admonish Cain and say, Cain, do it a different way. Follow your brother's example. Yaquiel touched on it last night. Our mother, Rebecca, Isaac's wife, right? Had these two nations, boom, 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 fighting inside her womb, boom, 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 boom. Get off, you get off, no, you get off, you get off, no, you get off, get off of me. It's exactly what I go through with Sean and Ari all day long. Get off, leave me alone, stop it. This is what's going on inside this woman's womb. So she goes, she seeks the elders tell her, they seek Yahweh, and they come back with Yahweh's message and say, you got two nations warring inside your womb. You got two sets of people warring inside your womb. So we see the same narrative being told over and over again. But the question is mankind getting it? Is mankind understanding it? And more importantly, is Israel understanding that? Because the problem that we're having is, did God say? And you have people who feel like they can go to Yahweh any way that they want when Yahweh's like, no, you cannot. No, you cannot. You can't just think just because it's an offense that it's a thing that they were doing in essence, but the particularities of it were entirely different in Yahweh's eyes. And the mindset that one had over it was entirely different in Yahweh's eyes. And one Yahweh liked and one Yahweh didn't like. But it all stems back to what Yahweh said? Did God say? Because this is all now a trickle-down effect of disobedience. This is all the truth. Because how is it that they managed to develop two distinct ways and two distinct manners of approaching Yahweh? And why is it now the older son, Cain, had a way that was different from the younger son, and the younger son was the one that was respected? Hold up. Who came out first and who came out second? Rebecca and her womb. Esau came out first, right? And Esau was not the one chosen by Yahweh. He wasn't the one that he was not the one who Yahweh had respect for. So what is that telling us? And even when you think about when you hear about the first Adam and the first Adam lost his place of respect with Yahweh. But the second Adam now, through his sacrifice, had found a way of respect unto Yahweh. So let's finish reading the story. Let's finish the narrative. Because those things written aforetime, before our learning, that through patience we might gain hope. Because now when you see all of this stuff popping up now, you see everybody's offering Yahweh fruits and vegetables out in this world. Everybody ain't offering him up the sheep. Everybody ain't offering him up the lamb. And I mean that not this. First of all, let's understand this. Before they became two separate distinct nations between Cain and Abel, which we know that those generations were killed off, and between Isaac and Rebecca with Esau and Jacob, guess what? They came from the same earthly vessel, two same earthly vessels. They were the seed of Adam and the fruit of Eve's womb, and just like it was the seed of Isaac and it was the fruit of Rebecca's womb. So they were brothers. And, you know, the funny part about it, these two came out separately, but those two came out as twins. But, you know, the funny part about it is you hear about, you know, because you have Esau, you have Jacob, right? Who did Esau become in Scripture? And you have Jacob. Come on, who Jacob become? Israel, the Israelite, right? Boy, hold up, y'all. The Edomite and the Israelite, they twins. Right or wrong? Based on the Scriptures, they twins, right? And they Hebrews, right? Right? So what do we see amongst the Hebrews? See, everybody that calls themselves a Hebrew and an Israelite ain't truly a Hebrew and an Israelite. You see, the reason why I honestly believe some keep saying, the Edomite. First of all, if I'm doing wrong, and I know somebody's coming after me because I committed the crime, and I want to get somebody off my tail, what do I do? Look at him, not me. But the whole time they're putting down these people and trying to shift. And that's the part about it that it's like, how could you possibly build a whole doctrine around that logic? And try, and people follow this. And I'm listening to what, you know, Yaka El was talking about last time. You got one person with an idea, the next person comes up with it, agrees with that idea, and next thing you know, you have this whole doctrine. You have all this surrounding. Hold up. The Edomite doctrine that they have is a total false doctrine. And who they're looking at, who they're pointing to, who they're trying to get people to focus on. Hold up. Y'all want people to focus on these people right here, but wait a minute. Y'all not doing Yahweh's will either. Y'all calling yourselves Israelites, but hold up, y'all really acting like Edomites. Because as we go through the history of Edom, we realize that Edom, first of all, got with the Arabs, got with the Egyptians. You know, before we started doing all this foolishness, that was already in his nature to go down that path. As a matter of fact, when you look at the history of him, he said that, told Jacob to go find one wife amongst his kinfolk, but Esau had already gone his way to go find his own wives among the Arabs and the Egyptians. So he was already had this propensity to go do his own thing. Oh, just like Cain and just like Abel. You had one who already had in his mind, I'm going to do my own thing. And you had one who had in his mind already, I'm going to do what was pleasing to my father. But that goes to show you right there the relationship that they were forming or had formed at that point with the Heavenly Father. Let's read into the film.
Sorry, got to go back. Cain, Genesis 4:4, and Abel, he also brought up the first things of his flock and the fat thereof, and Yahweh had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And Yahweh said unto Cain, why are you wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? So Yahweh said, you got an example right there of what you are supposed to do. If you do it, I'll accept it. But in his mind, I ain't doing what you want me to do. Just think about it. He is going to force Yahweh to respect what he's doing, as opposed to him just doing what Yahweh, yielding to Yahweh's will and giving in and doing what Yahweh has told him I want. So you mean before he even gave the Torah, he talked to two people and told them, I got a way that I want you to do that's better than the way that you're doing things? This is a couple millennia before the Torah was even given. That he is letting two people know, I got what, this is the way I want it done. That's what's happening right here. Let's read on. And Yahweh said unto Cain, why are you wroth? 4:6. Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel. Now we're going to switch in gears here. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. No need to go into a whole lot of details about that. A simple thing, that his mindset had become so twisted, his mindset had become so thwarted, his mindset now has become so deluded that he felt like, you know what, the only way out of this is for me to kill my brother Abel. Think about it. He killed, as opposed to doing the will of Yahweh, he'd rather kill his little brother. Sad story, ain't it? It's pretty sad. And the thing about it is we see the end result. I was talking to my wife this morning before I came to church, and they were talking about, you know, the guy, Sean Urbanski, who had killed the young man from the campus and said that he was responsible for a hate crime. But you know what? Every murder is a hate crime. Every murder is a hate crime. But our world wants you to differentiate between why you commit murder. No, every murder is a hate crime from the first example. And why is it a hate crime? Not because you hate that individual, because you hate the creator. Cain didn't just hate his brother, he hated the creator. His relationship with the creator had gotten so bad. I can't kill you, so I'm going to kill the next best thing I can to you. I'm going to kill the one thing that I know you like. Oh, you like his sacrifice? Oh, you like them sheep that he's killing? Well, I'm going to do away with that, and guess what? Now you got nothing but me. So what you going to do, accept it or not? You gonna see? Right or wrong? That was his mindset. That was his mindset. As opposed to me building a better relationship with you, I'll kill the ones who do. I'll wipe them off the planet. One but a handful of them at that point. But you think about that mindset. So Samuel Jackson said, and it really could, because I was all gun control, get the guns off the street. Gun control, get the guns off the street. No, ain't about gun control. Because if I got this gun in my hand and I don't see the value in the light standing in front of me, it don't matter what I got. And Yaakov said it a couple weeks back. They had guns back then. So whatever he found, a twig or his hands or whatever, that's what he used to destroy the life force within him. So if you don't respect Yahweh, then you won't respect life, and you won't respect the life that the individual apart from you has. But at the end of the day, it all boils back down to the relationship that they had with Yahweh. If he loved Yahweh, if he respected Yahweh, he wouldn't have done what he did. He would have got himself right. And the thing about it is, think how merciful, and people think that his mercy and grace didn't exist back then. Him coming to him and telling him, what's wrong with you, bro? You mad, bro? What you upset about? Why your mouth broke down? Just do right. If you don't do right, that is Yahweh's mercy interceding with him back then and saying to him, look,
Don't do it that way. Do it a better way. But we see the mindset of the people. You go out there right now and you tell people to do right and get a right relationship with Yahweh. What you think they're going to do? As a matter of fact, you talk to some of these Hebrew Israelites and tell them that you ain't doing things the way the way the Torah states to do it. Go to some of them Jews and tell them, you're doing things apart from the Torah. Go to them Hebrew, you're doing things apart from the Torah. The Torah don't say you can handle a 12-year-old girl, bro. What you mean? If you can't receive, that means you can't receive it. Man, nah, uh-uh. Hold up. Y'all got an egg on the Seder plate. Ain't supposed to be no egg on the Seder plate. The only people who dealt with roasting eggs was the heathen. But y'all got this. This is supposed to be the most holy. This is the first holy day of the season. This is supposed to be the first holy y'all sitting in. And this is the one that Yahweh says, look, if you don't partake in this, you ain't got no place with me. Hold up. Y'all got a heathen, pagan symbol on that. What you think they're going to do? Hold up. Tell them Rosh Hashanah is not the new year. What you think they're going to do? The same thing that people who keep Christmas and Easter is going to do. Want you silent. Play it out when Yahushua came on the scene. Because at some point, he upset them to the point where they said, he got to go. We got to get him out of here, because if we don't get him out of here, he's going to upset everything for us. Same thing they did with Paul, same thing they did with Peter, same thing they're going to do with the believers in this day and age when stuff comes. And I really feel like we see the quick progression towards that point. Because at some point, somebody's got to speak up for Yahweh. At some point, somebody has to let them know the LGBTQ movement is only going to do one thing and one thing only, and it's going to anger our God. He's starting to show us in little ways by different things that are going on. He is, because the one sure way, Yahweh, and nope, do not be dismayed by the signs of the heaven and all this type of stuff, but one sure way Yahweh will get people's attention is through nature. It's through nature. They got a flood going on in Paris, France right now. Talk about these antiquities that go back to the Roman Empire are all going to be destroyed if they don't move them. Look it up. It's going on right now over in Paris. A flood that they have not experienced in hundreds of years. So Yahweh showing us little by little, hey, y'all, I'm checking things out. Hey, y'all, things is happening. Hey, y'all, I know they talking about global warming, but check this out. Before y'all start worrying about global warming, worry about what it is that you're doing to cause the earth to react this way. And sure enough, before there was any of this modern technology and all this other stuff, that sin was a way to get Yahweh to use the earth to react to what you were doing. Ask the people before the flood. It said back then, filled with violence, which we see right now, the top-selling movies, the top-grossing movies, ain't movies about loving somebody, ain't about having a great relationship with your wife and being a family man, and she's a family woman, and y'all living in harmony together. Make a movie called The Terminator. And guess what? Because at one point, The Terminator was the highest-grossing movie. And it was nothing but about violence. Predator. You name it. And definitely ain't no movie out about having a right relationship with Yahweh. Ain't nothing like that on the market. Matter of fact, if they do make a movie like that, I bet you it'd be in select theaters and everybody ain't even going to know about it. But that's a sure enough way to get Yahweh to start looking at things and Yahweh to start considering some things. Because it says when he looks upon the earth, what does it do? Funny, because did you send an article? Somebody sent an article about the Israeli army teaching children. Maybe it's an article I saw. That the Israeli army were teaching children that science doesn't cause earthquakes. The Creator causes earthquakes. That's the Torah. When I look at the earth, oh, it shakes. It's afraid of me. Because as a father, I love when I get that look, things get right. And if I had to get that look more than once, punishment comes. If I give you the stare and you don't get right, Ari, I give you the stare, you don't get right, Sean, guess what happens? Pa-ya-yow. Tears are coming. So Yahweh letting y'all know. He's letting the world know. Don't look up there. Can't nothing up there help you. Sure, the sun may turn red. The moon may not give us light. But check this out. It's happening up there. Y'all connected to this. Now, when I look over there in Mexico and it goes do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, y'all better pay attention. When I look up there in Alaska and it goes do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, y'all better pay attention. So, yeah, don't be dismayed by the signs of the heavens. The heathen do that because they looking up there like, oh, my goodness, let's move the doomsday clock 5 minutes to midnight. Nah, son. Yahweh said, I ain't going to let y'all destroy my earth again. I ain't going to let y'all cause me to destroy. Y'all not going to destroy it, and y'all not going to allow me to get so angry with y'all that, I'm going to punish you. I'm going to get you. If I got to turn the furnace up a little bit, if I got to do this, if I got to look down there, if I got to cause volcanoes and all this sort of stuff, because guess what? You can't hide from none of that stuff. When that earth cracks, you better hope you ain't standing in it. So, yeah, don't be dismayed by the signs of the heaven. Every time you see them earthquakes, you better check them faults, see where them fault lines, where them scientists found out them fault lines be, and make sure you move your house at least 50 miles to the right or to the left, even if it means you get yourself a yacht and live out in the ocean. Because once it crack open, trust me, you're going to get it. Ain't nothing you can do about it. And Yahweh said unto Cain, let's go back to 40. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. There's no need to go into any all gory details about that. It's as simple as that. He killed him. He murdered him. And there was no reason for it. Absolutely no reason for it. And Yahweh, 4:9, and Yahweh said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? Because there was an expectation that Yahweh had of Cain. First of all, Yahweh is going to plead with him in hopes that he would get right and he could talk some sense into this man. But you know what? Sadly, you can be sold out on your thoughts, on your ideas, and your notions that Yahweh can't even reach you. Because Yahweh couldn't reach Cain. He couldn't reach him. He had his mind dead set on doing. Now they say in Baltimore, you just gonna do what you gonna do, right or wrong. And he did what he wanted to do and killed Cain and totally disregarded what Yahweh said. So guess what? Does Yeshua have a parable about that? Oh, yes, he does. And he talks about the parable of the seed sower. Says some of that seed is going to fall on healthy ground. Some of that seed is going to fall on stony ground. Some of that seed is going to go through a particular process. He said these are the different kinds of people who the word of Yahweh is going to reach. And some people, and this is Yahweh saying this, through his son Yahushua, some seed is just going to do this on the ground and never take root. If Yahweh is saying that about people, who are we to say people are any different? Who are we? Yahweh know what kind of people he got on the earth. Yahweh know which people are going to hear his voice and which people aren't going to hear his voice. Why? Because Cain and Abel set the example. Cain and Abel showed him exactly what people will do. And here it is. One dealt with seed bearing fruit after its kind, and one dealt with animals. 4:9. And Yahweh said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? You know, the same retort his father gave when Adam was asked about Eve. You know, the woman you gave, you ain't give me that woman. First of all, you ain't had no business giving me a brother. If you ain't give me no brother, I wouldn't have this problem. I could do what I want. Because if it was just me, I could offer you this fruit all day long. You would have nothing to say about it. But now you got this dude named Abel. He's doing his own thing. You like him. Sibling rivalry. You love him more than you love me. No, I don't love him more than I love you. But I do love his actions more than I love your actions. And all I asked you to do was change your actions. But instead now, you chose to murder him. And Yahweh said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cried unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed. So now we see the next curse that's going out
is to who? Is to Cain. And now thou art cursed from the earth, put in her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto Yahweh, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Hold up, brother. When Yahweh was pleading with you over that course of time, telling you to do better, now you then went and you did what you did and made the ultimate, you did the ultimate bad action by killing your brother. And now you're going to say my punishment, but that's us, ain't it? We play with Yahweh all day long until he dropped the hammer. Then it's like, oh, snap. Yahweh's serious now. Oh, my goodness. I better get right. I better change my ways. But it was too late at that point. Too late. But look at Yahweh's mercy. And he said unto Yahweh, my punishment is greater than I could be. Y'all don't beat me like this. Oh, I'm sorry. Ooh. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from this 4:14. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth and from the face and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. So now you wait, hold up, man. You worried about, you a murderer, now you worried about being murdered? Huh? You a murderer, but now you worried about being murdered? You see what our nature is like? Huh? You a murderer, but now you, because you know, because now he is, think about it. At that point, when he did what he did, just like when Adam and Eve did what they did, and when he did what he did to Cain, it irreparably changed the nature of Yahweh's relationship with humanity and with the earth. That's why he even mentioned it. Hold up. The earth is crying out. Your brother's blood is crying out through the earth. Did we learn later on in the Torah? What's supposed to happen when somebody's blood is spilled in the street? The priests of Yahweh are supposed to go out there and cleanse the earth of that blood. Hmm? That means the men of Yahweh have a special position. When you think about it, we got to, we, if the priests don't come out and think about all the blood, 300 and some are to almost a murder a year, last Gregorian year took place. Did anybody out there besides forensic come up and clean that blood? Did the men of Yahweh go over there and pray over that area and say, Father, cleanse this area of that blood? Hmm? So guess what? All that blood, all that violence, oh, but when them 63 people just got blown up before we came to service today. 63 people just got blown up, many of them children. If a priest of Yahweh don't go over there, and I mean a priest of Yahweh, I ain't talking about just some priest. You can't be no Catholic. You can't be no Muslim. You can't be no imam. You can't even be you can't even be a rabbi, an ordained rabbi. No, you got to be a priest ordained. You had to have that smicker from Yahweh. You had to be able to chef. You had to have that anointing from Yahweh to go out there and cleanse that area. Otherwise, it's not clean. So now you think about this happening all over the earth, time and time again. What do you think it's saying to Yahweh at this point? What do you think? It's like the movie said, acquittal after acquittal after acquittal, blood after blood after blood after blood after blood, till it chokes the whole stinking lot of them out. That's what we have. And it all started right. Well, it all started with Adam and Eve doing what they did, and now we see the culmination of it now. Blood being spilled in the earth. And Yahweh said unto him, nope, I'm going to go back to 4:14, family, sorry. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. So we see at that point now, we see what he said. Do you get what he said? Huh? From thy face. So that means Yahweh still up to that point hadn't hidden his face from Adam, Eve, and Cain and Abel. He hadn't hidden his face from them up to that point. But now that he committed this act, and now he has done something that cannot be taken back, it's irreparably damaged beyond this. Now this is the culmination of it all. This is the climax of man's fall right here. Everything else that man is doing at this point, to what happened here, because this at that point was too much for Yahweh to deal with mankind after this. Cain was the one at that point responsible for forcing Yahweh's presence away from all of humanity. You see that? But what was Cain doing prior to that? Offering a sacrifice that was not acceptable to Yahweh. Don't forget that.
So all these churches, all these religions, Hinduism, Buddhism, Shintoism, Jehovah's Witness, Hebrew Israelite, when you are not keeping the Torah properly, calling on a false god and tainting the word of Yahweh, all of y'all are fall into this category. Everybody falls into this category that is not doing what Yahweh says to do. Because people are not doing what is cause iniquity shall abound. And remember what we studied, that word because. Because iniquity shall abound. Because they look to that man in the Vatican City with them white robes on in whatever chapel. Because they see him as God over the earth, whether you're Catholic, whether you're Jewish. Rabbis have gone to see him. Imams have gone to see him. Leaders over the nations have gone to see him. And we know each one of these leaders represent a spirit, hence Tyree, the prince over Tyree, and what he did in Daniel. Okay? So each Donald Trump represents a spirit in the earth. Barack Obama represented a spirit in the earth. Angela Merkel over Germany represents a spirit in the earth. Whoever's over Turkey, whoever's over Ghana, whoever's over Jamaica, whoever's over Trinidad, they represent a spirit in the earth, and they all go to this one spirit in order to get the blessing. As a matter of fact, they were so angry at the fact that it took Barack Obama so long to go see this man. People looking at old Bernie, feel the burn, 2020, he's at it again. Hold up, before he even became president, don't forget, Bernie went to see him too, y'all. So don't believe the hype. When he started talking about feel the burn, look it up. Bernie, old boy, he Jew, went to go see him too. So don't think the many times that Bill went to go see him, Hillary Rodham wasn't with him too. Okay? They went together. So don't forget that neither, y'all, when it comes time, because guess what? 2020 is coming, and they're going to flood the United States of America with so much information about who we should vote for and why we should vote, and sometimes it tickles us in a way that says, you know what, maybe I stood in line the first time for OBZ. Okay? I stood in line for 4 hours the first time for OBZ as a believer because I believed the hype. Okay? That was only about 12 years ago. All right? So, they can talk a good game and make you feel like, I got to catch my vote. I got to catch my vote. I got to get him out of office. I got to get the right one in office. Don't fall for the okie doke again, because each one of them are in league with Lucifer. And that's who he represents. Pope Francis. Whoever listens to this, just know and understand and believe Pope Francis represents Lucifer. Don't he wear white? And the white look all nice and bright and bleached, don't it? That's Snow White looking white when he come out there too. Boy, you be like, God damn, boy, bird better not come across and poop on him. That pretty white when he come up. The shoes is white, the cap is white, because everybody else is either wearing black, red, or black and red. But he come out, boy, he let you know, I'm different from the rest of them. They might be sinners, but I ain't. And just think about what even Yaakov talked about last night, that white glove. See, he that white glove walking through the earth, seeing who's dirty or not. So funny, I listened to the kids when I dropped my boys off at school the other day, Santa Claus is invincible. First of all, I wanted to tell them, first of all, look, we almost a whole month away from Christmas. What is you talking about Santa Claus for at this point anyway? I mean, literally over there, Santa Claus is invincible. Santa Claus is invincible. Santa Claus is invincible. Santa Claus is invincible. And I looked at that as a spirit. Hold up, girl, what you even worried about that for? First of all, you still got 330 some odd plus days to get yourself right before he even try to come down your chimney again. And the way I see you acting on the playground, he shouldn't go nowhere near your house. Matter of fact, it should be a do not enter sign at the end of your, at the beginning of your block. The way you carries on that playground. But anyway. So we see, And see, that's why even when you look at it, talk about he brought the fruit of the ground to him. And you see Abel just brought the sheep. And you think about the fruit of the ground, you're thinking he's bringing a whole bunch of different things. Let me get some carrots. Let me get some apples. Let me get this. Let me get that. But you think about all these different religions out here, that's what that represents. That's what that represents. All these different religions bringing these sacrifices to you, and Yahweh saying, no, I don't want it. But each one of them carry their Bible, or those who don't carry their Bible. If you don't carry your Bible, you grew up in an area where the Bible is. There's somebody who went out there and brought a Bible to you. That's one thing they have been doing. Them Gideons is everywhere. Them Gideons be in the Heartbreak Hotel. With all kinds of stuff going on in there. People ain't even think about the Bible in some of the hotels, but the Gideon be in there, be in that upper right-hand dresser drawer where the phone be at. Guarantee it's there. Anyway, let's get back to this word. Genesis 4:15, and Yahweh said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And Yahweh set a mark upon Cain, lest any man find him should kill him. So now, if Cain represents the father of the false religion, and we start asking, well, why are the false religions, why Yahweh ain't being done away with it? Why? Because he had to allow it to exist for a certain amount of time. And that's why Cain wasn't killed right away. Just like I know as believers, I ask Yahweh sometimes when I hear certain things take place, how long, Yahweh? Is it in my lifetime? How long? How long before you enact your vengeance on this world? How long before you free us from this system? But Yahweh has to allow it to go on for a certain amount of time for his fulfillment, for his purposes. You know? Because even the believers with Yeshua wanted to know that answer. Show us the sign of our coming. He said, no man knows the day or the hour. I can't tell you that. You know, but I will tell you what to look for. And I will admonish you to watch. You know? So anyway, that's pretty much all I have for today. You know? And just gonna finish this up. I'm gonna read 16 and that's it. Start at 15. And Yahweh said unto him, therefore, whoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And Yahweh set a mark upon Cain, lest any man finding him should kill him. And Cain went out of the presence of Yahweh. That was it. He's done. Yahweh pulled back. He went out. And Yahweh pulled back, and Cain went out of his presence. See, Yahweh had to, at that point now, he had crossed the line that Yahweh said, and you think about it. Yahweh, just like us, you have some people in your life, at some point, you know what? Enough. I got to pull away from you. And when the scriptures say, Yahweh's spirit will not strive with man always. He said, yea, I stand at the door and knock. And whosoever asks, I will come in and I will sup with them. But I ain't going to stand there and knock all day. I ain't going to stand there and keep knocking all day and you don't want to answer. You got to take the step. So at this point, because of Cain's actions, Yahweh pulled back. So when people say, no, well, why? Has mankind changed? Have we changed? Now, Yahweh went through one iteration where he destroyed all of mankind and built it anew with Noah and his family. But did mankind change after that? No. So Yahweh got to deal with y'all a different way. I can't deal with y'all the same way. Because now y'all done went too far. Y'all done showed me that you need to want me. You need to want me. You need to want me. So 4:16, and Cain went out from the presence of Yahweh and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Now I'm gonna stop right there. So any questions? Comments? Nope. Nothing? All right, my family. Shalom. Cocoon. Blessed are you, Yahweh, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled, for you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the mighty one who is trustworthy in all his words. Amen. Amen. There you are. Will you close this out, Aki?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
On our brother, Father. Thank you for using him. Teach us, Father. Brother, perfect with your saints. Father, we ask that you put your words in our brother Ariel's mouth.
Amen. Amen.
And bring forth your word and bring us closer to you, Father. Let us be vessels whose ears are open, whose minds are totally focused on you, Father. Father, thank you for everything that you've done for us. Leading us, protecting us, guiding us through this week, Father. For as our friends, Father, continue to comfort them in their hour of pain, and anybody who's ailing right now, spiritually, physically, mentally, Father, continue to heal us, continue to make us whole. In Yahushua's name, we thank you and give you hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Ma tovu, ma tovu. Ma tovu, ma tovu. Oh, aleha Yaakov. Oh, aleha.